Hello everyone, you're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hi, everyone. Om Shanti. Welcome to The Next Normal in collaboration with America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. Looking at just the atmosphere, the environment, the way of the world right now, I keep looking on this image. Our newly appointed Supreme Court Justice, I don't have to mention her name, President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris. I just keep looking at the image. And when I look at it, it just feels like America's coming together. And I know we hear so much about what's not working for America, but could we just take a moment to pause and allow this moment in our history to just really sink in? Despite if we're able to take it to a completely other level, or maybe there might be people who are just going to try to strip the joy from this moment, it's okay. Let them do what they're going to do, but you don't let anyone let go of your joy. You know, every show at the end, I say, let no one strip you of your power to love. Like, don't give away your power to anyone that would make you stop being loving and kind. And this is our moment here. It's a moment for us to really sink in. The ideals of this country and the way the world looks at our country, something is happening. And I know it's like giving birth or pulling teeth, I tell you. It doesn't have to be this difficult. But because of algae, you know what algae is. Anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego in the soul. It's like pulling teeth without Novocaine. It's just like really painful. But just pause. And whether you're on the left side or the right, just for a moment, breathe into the fact that you've always wanted to see goodness in the world. Even in your family, you want to see goodness. You want to feel goodness. It might come in a different color, different gender, maybe in a different language or style or way, but you want goodness in your life. And so whatever side of the spectrum that you belong to, here's my invitation for you. Listen to your conscience, your heart, your deeper part of you. And let's start to dismantle ignorance that's been definitely existing for way too long. My special guest today is a friend of many years. We've been in India together. We've been on radio shows and programs. She's been doing some serious work helping individuals to begin to recognize there's no more room for hate. She's got a new book out, and we're going to be talking about that. And let me tell you a little bit about Reverend Dr. Carolyn L. Curry Avery. She's an ordained minister and licensed psychologist who will invite people into transformation through the journey of sacred intelligence, tapping into one's internal source to make intelligent choices that manifest the good for humanity. Hey, everyone should be doing that. She helps leaders to discover how their sphere of influence can change the status quo and dismantle racism. She's the author of Sacred Intelligence, The Essence of Sacred, Selfish and Shared Relationships. And her new book is titled Dismantling Racism, Healing Separation from the Inside Out. Reverend Dr. Curry Avery is the pastor of the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Presbyterian Church in Springfield, Massachusetts. She's also the host of Dismantle Racism, a talk radio in NYC. So, gives me great pleasure to welcome my beautiful sister, Reverend TLC.
Yes, Om Shanti, Sister Jenna.
Om Shanti to you. And of course, I want to go into the new book, but why don't we just start off with looking at the sacred intelligence that you speak about and how it can actually help us, me, you, the whole world, walk through life with just a greater ease.
Thank you for that question. And I'm really reflecting as I see you. That was my first meeting, being on your radio show so many years ago when you interviewed me for my previous book. And really, sacred intelligence is something that we all have. It's our divine wisdom. It's that ability to go inward, to tap into our greatness, to tap into that source that will tell us the intelligent choices that we should be making, because so often people choose a path that's not right for them. They choose actions that are not right for them. But if we listen to that inner voice, that guidance, that sacred source, the universe, whatever people choose to call it, that voice will always lead you to a decision that will help you to manifest your greatness while you're helping other folks to manifest their greatness. See, it's not just this one-sided coin. You're doing something that will help one another out. So that's what sacred intelligence means to me.
It's also like a sixth sense about things, where you kind of just have a sixth sense that's going to happen or that should happen, or, you know, I can just feel the energy in the space or in the room, and I act on that, because we've become so busy, Terlin, that we're so caught up in our bills, next door neighbor. Did you hear what he just said to me? That we're actually not able to hear the sacredness. What would you say would be the best thing right now that we can do to start to listen to this very beautiful world that exists behind our eyes?
Well, of course, I think taking time to meditate, you know, and whatever that meditation practice is for you, it doesn't have to be something that, you know, 30 minutes in. I mean, I know that people do it for a very long time, but for me, it's getting into the practice of the listening, to sitting still, clearing your mind and your brain. If you are constantly on your phone, constantly watching the news, you can't see what's right in front of you. And so for me, that meditation could be going for a walk in the park, not looking at your phone or looking out your window and seeing the beauty that's there. It's the starting to pay attention to what's around you and being mindful. And then it draws you in more deeply to your inner core. So, you know, from being on my show, I even start out with a meditation because it's a way of grounding us so that we can hear, that we can breathe through all of the destruction that's going on out in the world, to know, as you said at the beginning of the show, that there are good things out there that are happening, and spirit will begin to guide you towards those good things.
I agree with you on that. I've often wished to see the news outlets to open every show, every news broadcast with just 10, 15 seconds of silence, good wishes and prayer. I don't know how those journalists maintain their sanity, consistently talking about just stuff that's broken and not working. Anyway, we want to talk about something positive, your new book, which is on dismantling racism. Have you always focused on dismantling racism in your work? I mean, what got you on this path?
Well, I've always been interested in helping the people who are considered underrepresented, which a large part is people of color. And so my work has focused as a school psychologist, when I worked in a psychiatric hospital, all of that, I really worked with the underserved. You might remember, Sister Jenna, that once I went to divinity school, I thought that my work shifted to the wounds of religion. And that's where my focus was going to be, on the wounds of religion, because there's a lot within that, you know, arena. But then one of the things that happened is that after George Floyd was murdered, I knew that I had to return back to some things that I had previously focused on. Because again, for a while, I left it, you know, just to focus on something else. And I knew that as a transformational leader, I could no longer sit and watch the multiple people be killed by the police or any of the other things that were happening in terms of racial equity. And I was being called forth to do this work. So when George Floyd was murdered, I found myself really ushered out there at protests. People were calling me saying, can you come and speak? I ended up at a protest where I wasn't the leader, but ended up leading the protest because there was a young woman who had gathered folks together, but didn't know what to do once they were together. And so really, I think if we pay attention to the sacred, if we pay attention to that divine wisdom, it leads us to our next move. So I returned.
You know, it's so interesting how an event like the killing of George Floyd can wake us up in ways that we just weren't wake up by just being told, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't think that way. Don't treat another person that way. And then we have to see something so horrifying to shake us out of our comfort zones and really begin to make changes. That might just be the way of the world, Carolyn. I don't know. I've been seeing it for decades. Either you're going to transform yourself from love or you're going to transform yourself because something has tragically occurred.
Yeah.
And it seems like the majority of us will only make that interior move if it's tragedy.
Mm.
And sometimes that's tragic to me. But yet I know that there must be a reason why it exists. But when it comes on to addressing racism, there's a lot of fear. There is some guilt and maybe even some shame.
Mm.
What's the reason for that? And how can we begin to have meaningful and transformational dialogue about race without getting so sensitized and taking things so personally?
So one of the things that I want to say when you talk about meaningful dialogue is that if we make it a daily part of our dialogue. So for me, even though I had shifted to the wounds of religion, I always talked about disparities. It was just not at such a public level. And so your question is really a relevant one, because I think that most people think that they have to go out and do something grand. Not everyone will be a transformational leader who's out here speaking and want to have a large impact. But we have to do what Arthur Ashe says. To start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. And so I want to just encourage those people who do live in fear, shame, guilt, anger, all of those things that you just mentioned, they're all relevant to the reasons why people choose to stay in their comfort zone. Because when you do this work of dismantling racism, it's a sacrifice, especially when you do it and you want to have a large impact. So I just want to encourage your listeners to really do what you do in your area. So for me, because I'm out there speaking, I was called to a larger platform. For those people who are not going to have a radio show on dismantling racism or travel the world or do any of those things specifically for dismantling racism, do what you can where you are, even if that's supporting a person. I've had so many people say to me, I want to support your efforts. They're not the type of people who will get out there in front, but they want to support my efforts by helping me in any way that they can. So I think I answered your question. I might have gone a little bit further past it, but I just want to say that yes, all of those things that you mentioned, they impede our progress. And if we understand that we have people who will walk the journey with us, and who will be resources for us, I think it will encourage us to get out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, that's important to know. And I would just wanted to include a disclaimer in terms of when I shared about just that image I saw of President Biden, Vice President Harris, and Gitanjali, our latest Supreme Court appointee. I'm not taking a political side. I was just looking at the image of black, white, just everybody being together and working to make the country better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw in that image. I just saw it wasn't anymore about color or gender. It was about unity, and we can do better together than keep fighting and breaking each other down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you said, that don't wait until you feel that you have to have a big platform to make a change, but I'd like to add that you can look at your own racism within yourself when, you know, certain things occur to you and you're like, no, or you don't deserve this, or who are you to say this to me? And, you know, we have our own little stuff going on, or else we wouldn't be able to, you know, exude racism because of the color of your skin, because of your religious belief, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So start inside. So the thought of dismantling racism has to begin inside, as mm-hmm. your book offers us that insight. Mm-hmm. So racism is so overwhelming, and I know that a lot of us think we can never ever change people's belief about what they think a Black person represents, an Indian, a Chinese. Can we rethink this through? Like I would say, change from Black consciousness to soul consciousness. Change mm-hmm. from white consciousness to soul consciousness. And when you get into the soul, you're getting into the character and the value of God's child. Nobody mm-hmm. cares what size you are, what gender you are, and color mm-hmm. you are at that time.
I completely agree with you. I often remind people that this is a shell. I'm a vessel, like, you know, a temple, actually, if I want to use that term. A soul resides inside of here. Now, I will tell you, Sister Janet, it doesn't mean that it's easy every day when I see some of the crazy things that happen in life. But when I can begin to look at that person as a human being, I am able to speak with them in a different way. I'm able to connect with them in a different way. I'm even able to pray for them and send out light and love to them. When I'm able to say, that's a soul inside of that person. And they don't know what they don't know. They're caught up in a racist system, just like the rest of us are caught up in it. We're all in the vortex, this system, this world that we live in. And there are going to be some things to happen that we do not like, but how we choose to approach those situations, that's what matters. I could choose to be on this side, grumbling and complaining about how the world is. But spirit tells me that we're all a part of a shared humanity. We're all in this together. And if I want my life to be better, then I have to connect with the other souls out there to try to bring light into the world. And that's what I hope that my work will do. Not everybody will agree with me, and I won't agree with other people necessarily, but when we're guided by spirit and we try to hear their point of view, really just having a conversation with people, it opens us up to a different way of thinking. How can we grow if we don't begin to say, that's my soul sibling, that's my kindred. I don't agree with them, but let's have a conversation.
Remembering a story, there was a guru having a session, and one of the spouses in the session basically yelled out at the guru and said, people, you always talk about stuff. All your words are fruitless. They don't even have any meaning. And then the guru decided he was going to curse him with his words. And all of a sudden, the guy messed up. He was like, no, please don't do that. Please don't do that. And he said, but you just told me my words have no power. No, Guruji, please. I didn't mean what I said. Please take it back. So the moral of that story is, yes, dialogue, communication, conversation can change us at a very deep level because it helps us to move the energy in the soul. But you've got in your subtitle of your book, Healing Separation from Inside Out. Can you elaborate a little bit more about this process? Because I think that's where you're tapping into the spirit of the dismantling of racism and the spirituality of the dismantling of racism.
So for many of us, when we look at racism, we want to look at the other, what they need to do in order to change. But we need to do the work within us as well to change. And a part of that, I love that you really were talking a few minutes ago, these were not your words, but when you say we all need to take a look, we have internalized racism as well, hating ourselves because of how the world has shaped us, looking down on, you know, our kindred who come from different neighborhoods than we come. All of these things are internalized. But what I talk about in the book in terms of healing from the inside out, for those people who want to advocate for racial equity and social justice, it's really important that we start with our why. And that why means starting with going inside to take a look at what is the thing that's drawing you along this path. So when George Floyd was murdered in 2020, I had a lot of, in particular, white colleagues who were very, very distraught and angry and crying. And, you know, a few of them would say, I know if I'm feeling this way, you must be feeling, you know, like really horrible and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I didn't just wake up Black yesterday, so this isn't new for me. I've learned how to navigate this. And if you are going to engage in this work, you have to understand your why. It can't be because the country has just awakened to this and there's the conversation. There has to be a deeper reason for why you're doing this work. So in my book, I really invite folks to take a look inward, but then I also give some techniques for what we have to do to continue once we start this journey. Because, you know, Sister Jenna, especially as busy as you are in your life, you have to really be committed to the work that you do, right, in order to continue it.
It's been many decades for me, and I've heard on many platforms with many friends from various backgrounds. And I love the fact that I have a United Nations group of friends in my life. That means I love souls, not the color of your skin or your religion. But we talk about oneness. And a lot of times when I look at the way we all come together as one, I always ask, what is that factor that brings us together? And we don't care whatsoever about your skin, your gender, your religiosity, or whatever it is that might be different than me. And as much as I dive in and ask, what is it that brings us together? The answer that I always come back with again and again in my being is, because I don't have time to judge who's better, who's not, or I've got to do work on myself. I'm such a mess. Who am I to really start to judge other people? My life isn't all together. I can't go out there and start to say black people are like this and white people are like that. Each person is an individual trying to figure themselves out. And I think with all of our friendships, because we're all friends together, one of the fundamental belief systems that we all carry is that we know we are one, but we also know we have to do the work on the inside, you know? So when we think about oneness that goes beyond characteristics like race, ethnicity, or gender, what would you say is maybe another tool that you know of that can help people to move closer to this energy of oneness?
When you were talking, the thing that came to me, because this is how I teach my trainings, I always start from a place of love. I think love is the thing that binds us together. And if I can remember, stay in that place, because I think ultimately God, source, universe, spirit, however we define it, I think the greatest definition is love. And if I can keep in mind that that person is worth love, loving, and I am loved and I am loved. If I can keep that in mind, it helps me to continue to move forward and not do the judging. And like you said, if I take a look at myself and say, well, who am I to judge? Because I am that person, right? So if I look at that person and I begin to judge them, all I have to do is just let that mirror reflect right back at me. Because there will be some ways that I might be similar. I may not do the exact same thing, but are there ways that I show up and I discriminate against people? Are there ways that I'm judgmental? Are there ways in which I wound people unintentionally? And so I think that for me is starting from that place of love and then letting that mirror reflect back.
And such a powerful word, L-O-V-E. And sometimes I marvel at how attachment has messed it up and confused people in defining what the power of this word can do for our lives. You know, in the United States, and if you're watching anywhere across the globe, which I know you are, we've been going through a very unique time, not to say that we haven't in a while. But even this particular appointee of the Supreme Court judge, there were a few, quite a lot, who seemed to not care about the consequences of their behavior, you know, their choices in front of the eyes of not only their country, but of their entire world. Mm. What do you think, or what do you want leaders or conscious-minded individuals to know about the importance in dismantling racism? And is there a way we can support these leaders in dismantling racism? I literally wanted to just go into their office and sit in peace and just look at them with compassion, wondering what in the world has happened to you? You know, when I witness the behavior, and I know there's no way they could be sleeping well at night. And so what would be your suggestion, your message to them?
So I think there are two things that I want to say. I want to just talk about, just for a second, that how serene that Judge Ketanji, you know, Brown Jackson was in that moment. And that as leaders, when we are confronted with a barrage of misinformation and hatred from other folks, when we sit in the presence of I am and we sit in the presence of knowing who we are, it will help us not to be reactive in those situations. So I think in this charge to dismantle racism, for people who are still in that space of getting angry at all of these things that are occurring out here, this is what it means to go from the inside out, to heal separation from the inside out, is know who you are before you get into that situation. Secondly, to answer your question in terms of what can we offer to these leaders, well, until they get to a point where they are ready to listen to us and that we can go in their offices and we can sit and hold that space for them, I believe that if we hold them to the light in our own meditation, that that can begin to change the energy that we send to them. Could you imagine, and I know that we've done this in your circles before for other things that we've had the opportunity to sit globally. You know, I remember for Getting Rain in Australia, we sat globally just being mindful of and sending energy for rain to come, and rain came. What would happen if a group of us got together and we really just put our intention on, I won't call any particular names, but some of the senators, if they were our focus, I believe energetically we could begin to change the way people respond. You know, it's the same as praying for them, right? We know, I believe, prayer works, but it's because we're putting our energy towards that thing. And then once we have done that, we also go inward to say, now, what can I do personally? Is there something else that I can do beyond this? Can I write to them without being hostile? Can I write to them from a place of love and invite them into a conversation? Can I connect with their constituents who have a lot of influence with them? I think there are multiple ways in which we can really be problem solvers if we learn to sit with our sacred intelligence and try to come up with a solution.
Like what you said, at the end of the day, you still have to dismantle your own stuff on the inside, especially when you're going to go out there and, you know, stand up for justice. When at the same time, internally, there isn't justice for your own spirit. And I think that's why it's also taking so long, that if we can actually start to do the interior work, then it shouldn't be requiring so much effort to transform the feelings in those who are hateful and who find it economically viable just for their side to be able to push down a particular sector of society to develop theirs. That there'll be some energy that they will see. There'll be an energy about you that they will feel that they can trust, because there is a sacred vibration coming through you. And that energy could touch their conscience after a long time to just wake up and say, what am I doing?
Yes.
And I'm sure how many of all of our politicians and people from the left and the right side, when they looked at that image, they must have just said, wow. America's ideal is coming to pass.
Yes.
And I get it. I think that there are concerns about individuals that inhabit countries, and you wonder if you're losing whatever you have been. And I wonder if we think about the fears that we have of the color of the skin of people, immigrants that come in, gender equality and these things, and we start to have the fear of them rising to a level of supporting us, then yes, it takes longer and it's not going to be pretty. What if we just actually just said, I'm tired anyway
right.
of doing what I've been doing and I need help. Of course, let the woman come up. Let blacks, let brown, let white, let pink, let us everybody come up, you know, and let's see what we can do.
I think one of the biggest issues is that we don't understand the cost of racism and othering folks. I love that you said retired anyway. And if we could convince folks that you could have a better life if you didn't spend so much time fighting. As you said, they can't sleep at night. You know, they're slowly dying on the inside, because for me, I feel like when people engage in that behavior, they can't even connect with the God in them. I think we all have a bit of God in us, but we can't see the light and we can't see the love and the God in us if we're so busy hating. So I often tell the people that I work with, particularly the folks at church, we have to pray for those folks and send good vibes towards them. And I will say they have God in them. And they'll say, are you kidding the way they're acting? I said, the issue is they've forgotten. They've forgotten the conversation that they had before they entered this realm. And so it's for us to help them see that light.
Absolutely. I always love when we get together, Reverend TLC. You know, just it's such an easy time together. And it always stimulates me and also reminds me of just the power of our collective intelligence and how it leaves a sweet space inside, which encourages us to go out and do more. So thank you so much for joining us today. But you've got to leave us with a website where we can find more information on your book and any other activity that you're up to.
Yeah, so if you go to sacredintelligence.com, you will find all the information that's there about me. You'll find information about my book. It's coming out really shortly, so I do hope that you will go to sacredintelligence.com and find out more about me.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Sister Jenna.
It's so nice to have Reverend TLC with us, you know, and what we were talking about, I think, hits home on many levels for many of us in different ways. But also the fact that she really breaks it down so simplistically for us to really look inside of ourselves and see, you know, what aspect of racism even still coexists inside of our own nature. And when are we going to really just wake up? Again, is it tragedy that's going to wake me up? I mean, look into the eyes of your neighbor who's just different than you. You get to the aspect of the soul behind the eyes. And then you realize that soul came from God, and so did you. That's how you dismantle it. See the soul and not the skin. Thank you so much for joining us on America Meditating Radio and Your Next Normal. Gives me delight to have you with us, because I know each show changes you. And I know that each show changes me. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And I suspect that we're here to learn to love each other the same. Please take care of yourself. Be well. Om Shanti.
Meditation. Intimate experiences with the divine through contemplative practices. My new book that is out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and you can get it from Sacred Stories Publishing or on America Meditating Radio. The quieter you become, the more you're able to hear. One of my opening pages of this book. I have heard time and time again that when you go into the stories and the narratives of the 37 authors that are sharing with you their mystical experiences of the divine, something in you changes. It has already reached number one 3 times in mysticism category and the New Age category for new releases. I want you to get a copy for yourself and tell me what you feel as a result of closing that final page of this book. Meditation. Intimate experiences with the divine through contemplative practices. It's calling you. Can you hear it?
Rice Alley Restaurant wishes you happy holidays. Located at 6838 Piedmont in Gainesville, Virginia, we're a family-owned restaurant and offer authentic Asian cuisine and sushi. Come. Savor our delicacies made with love and enjoy the perfect ambiance. We look forward to seeing you there.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.